Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Mem. Lamed Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Just the Gemara completes what we discussed at the end of the previous shiur about Rav Shimon's opinion, how we can free an Eved. Amrav Shmuel Barach Soy, Amrav Hamnuna Sava, Amrav Yitzchak Ba'eshi, and Amrav Huna, Amrav Hamnuna, Halacha Rav Shimon. The halacha follows the Rav Shimon, you could only free Eved with a shtar. However, says the Gemara V'loihi, that is actually not correct. And halacha Rav Shimon, you could free an Eved with Kesef also. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rebbe. Eved shenosa es bas charem b'fnei rabbi. If a slave married a regular bas Yisrael in the presence of his owner, then he's free. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is, as we've learned, continue to discuss, an Eved is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. The fact that he married a Bas Yisrael and his owner didn't protest is a proof that the owner had previously freed him, and now he's a regular Ben Yisrael who's allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. There's a Machloikis Rishonim. What is the follow-up in such a circumstance? Some Rishonim learn, as is implied in the Gemara, that the Eved can marry the Bas Yisrael. If the Eved married Bas Yisrael, it's a clear indication that the owner had freedom and nothing more is required. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that a Shtar Shichra should still be written. And I saw two explanations in those Rishonim why a Shtar Shichra should be written. Some Rishonim explain it's a Drabonon. Drabonon required that even though we have clear indication that the Eved is free, a shtar shichra must be written. That's one opinion I saw. Another opinion that I saw is that we don't know for sure that this Eved was freed. All we know is that we have an umdana. We have reason to assume that he was freed. But to just build on an assumption and let the Eved live for free forever without a shtar shichra, we wouldn't allow, and therefore shtar shichra should be written. Amar le'Reb Yochanan. So Reb Yochanan said to him, "Kol kach yesh biyotcha. You have this tradition that Rebbe taught us this halacha, v'ani shayna, but I learned a different brisa. The brisa says, ha'kosef shtar erutzon l'shivchasai. If somebody writes a shtar that he's getting married to his shivcha kananis, remei amar mekudeshes, the kedushin is valid. The Kedushin is not valid. Why do we assume? So what do we see from here? That the writing of a Shtar Erisin is not just yet a proof that one is that one freed the Shivcha. Because here the Chachamim, who presumably we follow their opinion, say that just because the owner wrote a Shtar Erisin to a Shivcha doesn't mean that they're married. So how are you saying that just because you see that the Eved is marrying a Bas Yisrael, it's a proof that he's free? So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, and Nachal Smosh explains the entire sugya this way. He says, a person, when it comes to himself, sometimes will do the wrong thing. He has a Yetzirah, he'll do an Aveira. So he's not supposed to marry a Shivcha, but he can't control himself. He wants to marry her. So there's taka no proof that she's free just because he's marrying her. But nobody does an aveira on behalf of someone else. So if his Eved is marrying a Bas Yisrael, that is a proof that the Eved is free. So how can we compare the two cases? So he answers that you're right. A person sometimes can't control himself from doing an aveira. But if the person could control himself from doing the aveira without having what he wants and not doing an aveira, that's certainly preferable. Here we could have such a situation where the owner could say, I'll free the shivcha and I can marry her. So the fact that he's marrying her, shouldn't that be an indication that he indeed freed her? And that's why the Gemara is asking, why, if he married her, if the owner married her, it's not an indication that she's free. And when the Eved married Abbas Yisrael, it is an indication that he's free. So Mefarshim continued to ask, you can't free a Shivcha without doing an Aveira. We learned the Sugya of Lo'ilam Bem Tavaydu. You're not allowed to free a servant. So what are you saying? That the person could have done it Beheter. There's no way of doing it Beheter. You can't free a shifcha beheter. So Mefarshim answer, since the aveir of lo'olam behem tavoidu is only involves violating an assay, or, as we learned earlier in the parrot, under certain circumstances one may free his evid and kanani, and one may free his shifcha kananis, so that's not considered necessarily going to be an aveira. So the question here is, why when he marries a shifcha, is it not an indication that she's free? And why when his evid marries a bas yisrael, is it an indication that he is free? Answers the Gemara, k'rama Rabbi Babashel, Rabbi Nichlai Tefillin. It's not just that he watched his, they were going to discuss it in a few minutes. It's not just that he watched his Evid putting on Tefillin. He actually was the one that put the Tefillin on the Evid. Hachanami, it's not just that he saw his Evid marrying a Bas Yisrael. It's actually Kishirabba his see Isha. He actually married her to him. So that's a clear proof that he had freedom. Ask the Gemara, Omi Ikemididil Avde Lemevid Leisura. We're sure that he's not going to let his Eved marry a Bas Yisrael. And therefore, if we see that he is marrying off his Eved to the Bas Yisrael, it's clearly an indication that he freed that Eved. View of the Surah. And he, so why isn't it a clear indication that if he marrying the Shifcha, that he freed her? A person could, would have obviously have freed her before he marries her. Says the Gemara, and this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Absolutely correct. Just like if we see an owner is marrying off his Eved to a Bas Yisrael, it's a clear indication that he freed his Eved. Similarly, if someone himself is marrying his Shifcha Kananis, it's a clear indication that he had freed that Shifcha Kananis. Here the concern, here the basis of the Machloikus of Ramei and Chachomim is a technical issue. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, the way he wrote the shtar to the shifcha was the same shtar should be used both as a shtar shichur and a shtar kedush. Rameya is of the opinion, yesh b'loshna zeh loshin shichur, it could serve that dual purpose. And therefore she's free, and now he can marry her. Rabbanan sover, ein b'loshna zeh loshin shichur. This shtar only represents a shtar kedushin. It doesn't represent the shtar shichur, and since it doesn't represent the shtar shichur, he can't use it. She's not free because there was an inherent problem with the shtar. So the Mefarshim asks, how could Rameya suggest that this shtar should be considered a shtar shichur when there's no indication in the shtar about shichur? So the Mefarshim answer, that since the shtar does call her a shifcha, and it says that he's being Mekadoshar, so it's obvious that he meant to free her with the shtar. But there are a question that the Rishonim, the Achronim discuss. The halacha with Eved Kanani, with Shifcha Kananis is as follows. First you have to, when you purchase them, that's first thing, you take them to the mikvah, and the halacha is at that point they become Mechuyiv B'mitzvus Kanoshim. They become Mechuyiv B'mitzvus like women. Then there are an Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis. When you free them, you have to go to the mikveh again, and then they have a din like Yisrael. So how could the shtar shichur also be a shtar kedushin? They still have to go to the mikveh before they can become mekudeshes, until the geiris is completed. So I saw three answers to the question. One answer is that second tefillah is a machloikus rishonim, if it's a chiv derais or it's a chiv derabonim. Agmar is going according to the opinion that it's a derabonim. One teretz. Another teretz, Reb Chaim Briska says, is that yes, part of the process is they have to go to the mikveh the second time. But that doesn't stop them, says Reb Chaim Briska, from being already candidates for full-fledged Jewish marriage. Yichus, and the ability to get married, and the completion of the geiris procedure don't necessarily travel together, and therefore, even though they didn't have the mikveh, if they had the proper shichur, they could already be candidates for marriage. Avni Nezer gives a third answer. Avni Nezer says, there's a difference between the second tefillah of a man, of Eved Kanani, versus the second tefillah of a Shifcha Kananis. Why? Because an Eved Kanani, as we're going to learn in a moment, is Mechuyi B'mitzvus Kanoshim. He's only obligated in the same mitzvahs as women. Now, when he's freed, so he's going to go a step up. He's going to be Mechuyi in all mitzvahs. So that requires a prior tefillah. However, a shifcha kananis was obligated in all mitzvahs that women are obligated, and she remains on that level even after she's freed. So by her, the second tefillah isn't so crucial, because it isn't really accomplishing anything. It's not bringing any new obligations that weren't there previously. And therefore, since we're talking about the owner marrying a shifcha kananis, by her, the second tefillah isn't that crucial.
So in essence, the kedusha is still
important for the first tefillah? Right. Because the second tefillah doesn't really accomplish anything by a woman, by a shifcha kananis. Another question that the Rebbe Kivega asks is, how could this shtar be a good shtar kedushin? The halacha is that just like, this is the way the Achrayim explained Rebbe Kivega, just like you can't go give a get to someone who's not your wife, how could you give a shtar kedushin to a woman who's not Jewish? She's not Jewish when you wrote the shtar kedushin. She was still a shifcha kananis. So some of Farshim want to say, a concept that we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem, Gita v'yada b'ayin kechad. Her ability to get married and ability to become free actually come simultaneously. The Stipler says a different shot. He says as follows. He uses the following mashal. He says, if someone goes, as we said, and gives a woman a get, and he's not married to that woman, it's a meaningless get. But let's say someone has a wife who's never very sick. She's a shaita. So she's unable to receive the get. You can't divorce her, but you could write a get for her. Why? Because she is your wife. There's a difficulty that she is unable to receive the get. This woman that you're writing the get for, that's a shifcha kananis, the woman that, the kedushin that he's writing for, that's a shifcha kananis, is not a woman that you can't marry. There's a problem. She's a shifcha. But that doesn't completely exclude her from the parashas HaKedushin. We know the Torah says, V'yavi Yosef es dibosam ra el aviyam. Yosef came to report to his father Yaakov about his brothers, the Bnei Leah. And the parasha says, one of the things that Rashi says, one of the things that Yosef said about his brothers was that they called the children of Bnei, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, Bnei Shvachas. They obviously were degrading Bilhah and Zilpah to be considered Til Shvachas. The Bnei Leah obviously considered them Shvachas. Yosef obviously did not consider them Shvachas. What was the machloikis between Yosef and his brothers? So the Chasam Sofer says, the machloikis was, what was Yaakov Avinu considered? Was he considered a Ben Noach, or was he considered a Ben Yisrael? A Ben Noach that marries a Shivcha, so she remains a Shivcha. A Ben Yisrael that marries a Shivcha, so Al Gemara is teaching us, becomes a Yisrael. And that was the machloikis between Yosef and his brothers. Says the Gemara, Amr Yishu ben Levi, Eved sheniach tefillin b'fnei rabbi, an Eved that puts on tefillin in front of his owner, yotz l'cheres, goes out free. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, it says in a braisa, Lovi menu rabbi, if one's owner, one owner borrowed from his Eved Kanani. Oishos, rabbi Petropis, or his owner appointed him as administrator. Oishiniach tefillin b'fnei rabbi, or he put on tefillin in front of his owner. Oishikar shloshe p'sukim basic nesses, or he got an aliyah, with the minimum aliyah 3 psukim, b'fnei rabbi, in front of, b'fnei rabbi, hareza lo yotzei cheres, so is tefillin a way to go out or not? Answers the Gemara, am rabbi b'sheila, she rabbi noich not tefillin. When his owner put on tefillin on him, that is a proof that he freed him. Why? Because avadim don't put on tefillin. And let's spend a couple of moments discussing this. Why don't avadim put on tefillin? Because tefillin, we know, is a mitzvah sasei shezman groma. And we just said a moment ago that avodim kananim are obligated only in mitzvahs like women. And women don't put on tefillin. So the Rishonim ask, women aren't obligated in mitzvah sasei shezman groma, but they're allowed to do mitzvah sasei shezman groma. So why is the eved putting on tefillin a proof that he's free? He chose, like a woman might have chosen, to put on tefillin. So according to Rambam, this is not a question. Because there's a very famous fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and Tosfos, which is really a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which is really a machlokes between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Can a woman make a bracha on a mitzvah sasei shezman groma? The Rambam says no. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's the custom amongst Sfaradim. Taisa says they can, the Ramah says they can, and that's the meaning amongst Ashkenazim. So here we're referring to a situation where Eved made a bracha. Now, according to Rambam, he's not allowed to make a bracha. Even if he does a mitzvah, he's not allowed to make a bracha. So the fact that he made a bracha, and his owner's presence, and his owner didn't tell him anything, it's a proof that he's free. That's according to the Rambam. We actually need to understand, the Ran already discusses this, well, how do we understand the opinion of Taisus and Ramah? How can someone who's not obligated in a mitzvah make a bracha and say, Vitzivanu? They're not commanded. So there are two answers I saw to this question. One is there's a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. So since the women are obligated to make sure that we do the mitzvahs, that gives them a connection to the mitzvah that they could save at Sivanu. The problem with that teretz is that the issue, if women are obligated in Arevis, is a machloikis in its own. So we're back to where we started. How could a woman make a bracha? How does the Ramad Taisus say that women make a bracha on mitzvah say she's my grandma? How could they say with Sivanu we were commanded? They weren't commanded. So the Ran says that since men make a bracha, so women can. So we need to understand what the Ran is saying. So there's a beautiful verse from Belchanan. Belchanan Vassman says there are two types of mitzvahs. There's something known as a mitzvah kiyumis and there's a mitzvah chiyumis. A mitzvah chiyumis is a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. A mitzvah kiyumis is something, if we do it, we're makayim a mitzvah. What's tefillin? Tefillin is an example of a mitzvah chiyuvis. We're obligated to put on tefillin every day. So, says Rabbi Chanan, any mitzvah which is in the category of a mitzvah chiyuvis for a man, so by a woman, it's not to say that she's exempt. We go down one step, and it's a mitzvah kiyumis. And since it's a mitzvah kiyumis for women, they can make the bracha of a tzivanim. So getting back to our sugya, according to Rama, we have a very nice way of explaining the Gemara. She put on tefillin. David Kanani put on tefillin, made a bracha. You're not supposed to make a bracha if you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. So it's a proof that the owner had freedom. But we don't paskin like the Rambam. What is Taisus going to say? So Taisus says that typically they did not allow avodim to wear tefillin. So if Eved wears tefillin, it's clearly a proof that he's no longer an Eved. But we need to understand why were they so makbid not to allow avodim to put on tefillin. So there's another interesting Rambam. The Ksav Sofer points out this Rambam. Because the Rambam's opinion is that somebody puts on tefillin shayad, he has to make a bracha. But when he puts on tefillin shayroish, he doesn't put on a bracha. So if, according to the way we explain the Rambam, if an Eved would put on tefillin shayroish, it's no longer a proof of anything, because he didn't make a bracha. By the Rambam, nobody makes a bracha on the tefillin shorosh. However, if you look in the Rambam says that if an Eved put on tefillin shorosh, it's a proof that he's free. What's the proof? He didn't make a bracha. No one makes a bracha. So I saw two pshatim, beautiful pshatim. One pshat is we know that tefillin represent the unique characteristic of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says Masech the Brachos. When one wears tefillin, v'ra kala amoritz. Kishem Hashem Nikra Allah of Yarmi Mecca. So if an Eved's wearing tefillin, what does wearing tefillin represent? It represents that we're part of Klal Yisrael. So if the Eved is wearing tefillin, it's a proof that he's a full-fledged member of Klal Yisrael. That's one pshat. Another pshat, beautiful pshat, is as follows. We know that after the story in Shechem, the Bnei Yaakov killed the entire city of Shechem after they made a bris milah. It's a very difficult parasha to understand. If they wanted to kill them for what they did to their sister, why did they have to make him have a bris milah? So the Paradis Yosef quotes the Chedusha Harim. The Chedusha Harim said that we know there are three things that are on ice, that are special, that show a special connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos, bris, and tefillin. They went and took the bris milah, which is the special bond between us and Hashem, and took it for themselves. Because they really didn't want to become part of the Jewish people. That's why they deserve to be killed. They stole our bris. The same thing tefillin. The Eved's not put on tefillin. It's our special bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. How's he wearing tefillin? You don't belong there. If he's wearing tefillin, it must be because he was freed. And now we understand why the Gemara says, Goy Sheshavas is Chayiv Misa. Why is a Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa? Because Shabbos, we just said, represent the special relationship that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one is allowed to take that. And if Goy Sheshavas, if he does steal it from us, Chayiv Misa. Says the Gemara. If there's an owner who says as he's passing away, this woman who's my shivcha, after I pass away, I don't want her to be a shivcha anymore. The halacha is, we force the yarshim to write a get shivcha. And as the mefarshim explain, Taisus explains, because how do Yarshim allowed to write a shtar shivcha? We said before, you're not allowed to give a shtar shivcha to shivcha. So Taisus explains, really this shivcha is free. It goes back to what we spoke about yesterday. That a mafker avdai, and we'll speak about it more in a moment, yotzel cheres, they go out. Just there's a requirement, that only takes care of the monetary component, not the iser component. That's why the Yarshim should write a shtar shivcha for that component. Omla fon of Rav Ami Rav Asi, Rebbe, fine, he wants to free her. But who says that he meant to completely free her? What he meant is that she shouldn't work, but should still be a shivcha kananis to the degree that her children should be avodim. That's one version. Kiyosef Shmuba Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Misha Omar B'shas Misosai. If somebody said at the moment as he's passing away, this shivcha always treated me very well. I want her to be satisfied after I pass away. And now he passes away, and he asks, and they tell the shivcha, our father said he wants you to be happy. What will make you happy? She says, the only thing that will make me happy is being freed. Says the Gemara, we force the yarshim to fulfill what the father had asked, my tama, mitzvah kind of remes. That's what the father wanted, and they have to fulfill what he wanted. So here, ask the Rajba, the obvious question. In this version, there is no question that the Yarshim inherited the Shivcha. Now they own the Shivcha. How do they have a right to free a Shivcha? There's an issue to free a Shivcha. Just because their father said, mitzvah kind of remes, how could that be a heter to do an Aveira? So the Rajba says a tremendous answer. He says, why does the father want this shifcha to be free? Because a karas hatoif, like we just read. He said that this shifcha treated me right. I want it to be happy. A karas hatoif. The midah, the characteristic of a karas hatoif is so strong that it even overrides the iser of freeing a shifcha. And therefore, if that's what's going to make this shivcha happy, that's the way HaKaras HaToiv will be fulfilled, so should be done. Amar HaMeimer, HaMafker Avdoi, if somebody is Mafker his Eved, Ois Eved Ein Lo Tekana. He really doesn't have much of a solution for himself. My Tam, Gufa Lo Kana Lei. Once he was Mafker him, he no longer has monetary ownership over the Eved. Isurahu the Ikigabei, what's left, as we discussed many times in the last number of Shurim, the Issa component, that an Eved may not marry a Bas Yisrael. What the Gemara is saying now is that an owner cannot just write a Shtar Shichur that only speaks to the Issa relationship, not to the financial relationship. We just learned, in the Gemara yesterday, asked the Pnei Yeshua, that if somebody says, Nisiyayashti, Me avdi plaini, which is hefker, kaisvun like get shechur. So why is Al Gemara saying you can't write a get shechur? So it goes back to a concept that I discussed in the previous year. Yiyush is a very weak form of hefker, we said. So when there was only yiyush, so it's a weak form of hefker, so he really still has even some monetary ownership. That's why he could still write a shtar shechur. But here he said hefker. And therefore, since it's a stronger this ownership of the Eved, therefore he can no longer write a Shtar Shechur. Now Yeshua, Dor Sameach, asks, that isn't Hefker a form of a Nether? Because just like a nether, how is a nether created? By my words. Hefker is my words. So why, asked our Sameach, shouldn't he be able to be shoyl on Hefker, just like somebody could be shoyl on a nether? Answers the Ar Sameach, that even though Hefker is created through my saying something, it isn't the same like a nether, and Hefker you can't have annulled, like you could have a nether annulled. There's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. What would be the halacha according to Maimer? Where you were mafker in Eved, but you didn't write a shtar shichur, and the Gemara says, ain't like takana. According to Rashi, the Eved is stuck. He can't marry Bas Yisrael, because he's still somewhat of an Eved. He can't marry a shivcha kananis, because he's somewhat free. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says, he will not be able to marry a Bas Yisrael, but he will be able to marry a shivcha kananis. So again, says the Gemara, Omar Maimer, Hamafka Avdoi, Oysa Eved ain't like takana. My Tam, he no longer has monetary ownership over him. All he has over him is the Isser. For that you can't write a Shtar Shechur. We just learned the Gemara yesterday that if someone was Mafker is Eved, or someone who was Magdisha Eved, he goes free but they still write him a Get Shechur. How could you say that you don't? Answers the Gemara, what he meant to say was, Amlei tzarech v'amlei takana. We should be, he requires a get shechur, but we can't give it to him. Ikid amri, Amar meima, hamafker avdoi. If someone is mafker his evet, umeis, and then the owner passes away, oisa evet v'amlei takana. There's nothing that can be done anymore on behalf of that evet. My tama, now the yoshim own the evet. My tama, gofei lekanalei. They don't own him. The father was mafker him before he passed away. Isuru hu dikigabei. All that's left here is the Isser component, that he can't marry Jewish women. Visuru lebrei leimaris. That component of ownership of an Eved Kanani, a son doesn't inherit from his father. Amalei Rav Ashi lameimer. V'kiyasa Rav Dimi am Rav Yochanan. We just learned before that Rav Dimi said that the children free the shivcha based on their father's say-so. And it says, the Gemara, Rav Dimi Tusihi. That's a mistake. Amalei, my Tusa. There was nothing, the question of Ami and of Asi asked on Rav Dimi was because it wasn't said properly. The father wasn't clear in saying that he wants her freed. Had he been clear in saying that he's her free, Hachanami, she would be free. And children would just still write a shtar shichra. So we see that a meim is incorrect. A malay, I don't agree with that version. I agree with the other version. Where it's not because the father already was mafker her, but rather because it's the doing what the father requested, because mitzlakaim divrei ames. Says the Gemara, Hatu discarded the avdi. There was a community of avodim kananim. There's Dabin Lav, the Kachavim that was sold to Goyim. Kolam Arvose Basroi, and the Goyim died, and the original Jewish owner died. And now these Avadim want to be able to marry Jewish women, but they never received a Shtar Shechur. Also, Lekamei, the Ravina. So they came to Ravina and asked them, what could they do? Omaluhu, so he told them, Zilu Ahadru Abnei Marvose Kamoi, go look for the Yorshim of your original Jewish owners, the Yichtavu Gita de Charusa. And they'll write for you the Shtar Shechur, and then you'll be able to marry regular Jewish women. Amalei Rabbanan Ravina. So Rabbanan asked Ravina, V'Oma Meimah, didn't we just learn that Meimah taught us that Amafka Abdu Yameis, Isa Eved, Ein Loi Takana? If there's only Isser ownership, you can't write a Shtar Shechur. Amalei, so Ravina responded to them, Anok Rav Dimis Firlei. I hold like Rav Dimi. Amalei, so they said, the didn't Rav Ami and Rav Asi prove the Rav Dimi Tusa? That what Rav Dimi said was an error. Amalei, my Tusa. There was nothing inherently wrong with Rav Dimi's concept. The only problem was in the words that were used. The way Amra Beloshin Shichur wasn't said properly. Amra Beloshin Shichur, had he used the proper wording, and that means if the father disowned her but never wrote the Shtar Shechur, Hochinami, the halacha would be that the children can write a shtar shichur. And that is indeed the din, hilchas akravina, that if somebody is mafkir, his eved, and never got a chance to write a shtar shichur, he could write a shtar shichur later, or if he no longer is here, his yarshim, his children, could write the shtar shichur. Says the Gemara, Hahu avdu de beit trei. There was an eved that was owned by two owners. Kom chad minai v'shachur lepelgei. One person, one owner was Meshachar the Eved. Amma, Idach, so the other owner said, Hashta, Shmi vi Rabbanan. Rabbanan are going to hear what happened here. Omafsa de Lamanoi. As we're going to learn in Mitzvashem, in tomorrow's Shir, if there's an individual who's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi ben Chayrim, so he's in limbo, as the Mishnah will teach us tomorrow, and therefore we force the other owner to free him. So here, where one owner had freed one Eved, the other owner knew, he came to the Shir, he knew that this is going to happen, so he wanted to outsmart the Rabbanim. What did he do? Also, Aknei l'bnei katan. He went and had the Eved, he gave over the Eved to his son. His son isn't in a position to free the Eved, so the Rabbanim won't be able to force him to free him. Shalcha Rabbi Yosef b'rei de Rovel kamed Rapapa. So this question, this issue, was sent to Rapapa. Shalach Leisa responded to him. The Pasuk says in Avadja, Kasha Osa Kenya Osaloi. You tried to act improperly, then we'll act with you improperly. Gemuloi Yoshev Loi Beroishai. Anan Kamla Binyanuka. We know something about children. You know what children like? The Mekar Vedat Alagabazuzai. You jingle some money, some coins, in front of a child, it gets them interested. So what we should do here, in this Eved, who's now owned by a cotton, what we should do here is, Mekminen le'apotropos, appoint for him an administrator, or Mekakish le'zuzay, and then jingle some money in front of the child, the Kosle Gita de Chrusel Shmei, and he'll write a shtar shichur for this Eved, for the half that he owns. So we have here Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi understands the Gemara like this. The child is the one that's freeing the Eved. Because children, says Rashi, have pu'utais. Once children are 6-7 years old, and they have a certain level of intelligence, they have the ability to do financial transactions. And therefore the child, by jingling these coins to the child, in front of the child will free the Eved. So what does he need an apotropos then? Says Rashi, we still have to worry that the child is not being cheated. And therefore the apotropos will make sure that the child gets the full fair market value of the Eved. That's how Rashi learns. Rabbi Natan Tosfos learns that the child does not have the ability to free an Eved. He's a child. Who's the one that frees the Eved? The apotropos. So why do we have to go through this jingling of the coins? We're concerned that the child is going to complain. What's going on here? So even though halachically he doesn't have the right, the authority to complain, it's the administrator that makes the decisions. We don't want that people should talk. You see, they cheated the child was complaining and they ignored him. So how do they keep the child quiet? Give him some coins. Says the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. Ha'omer Asisa Ploini Avdi Ben Chayrim. If somebody uses this language, I have made my Eved Ben Chayrim, Asi Ben Chayrim, he should be a Ben Chayrim, Harei Ben Chayrim, all of these terminology, Harei Ben Chayrim, are adequate ways of freeing Eved Kanani. If he uses the wording, Esenu Ben Chayrim, I shall make him a Ben Chayrim, we have a Machlaikas. Remei Abakana, it also is a valid way of freeing him. The Chamarim Loikon, it's not a valid way. Om Rabbi Yochanan, however says Rabbi Yochanan, whatever we want to use a valid language, whatever should be considered a valid terminology, it has to always be a shtar. Just like a get, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, in order for a get isha to be effective, you have to have it written on a document. So too, a shtar shichur of an Eved Kanani has to be officially written on a document, otherwise it has no validity. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'im Nesati Soda Ploinis Leploini. If somebody says, I gave over this field to someone else, Nesun Leploini, and all his cases, Harei, or he said, Harei Shaloi, and all these cases, it's a valid terminology, and Alok is Harei Shaloi. However, If he says, et nena laplaini, again, machlaikis. Rameya makana, the chamayrim laikana. Again, says Rabbi Yochanan, the kulam b'shtar. In order for it to be valid, it has to be documented, it has to be on a shtar. Why? Explain the Rishonim. We know there are three ways how to affect the transaction of a sale of a piece of property, or a gift of a piece of property is the same. B'kesev, b'shtar, b'chazaka. Here, we don't have a kesev, there's no money being transferred. There's no chazaka. We're relying on a shtar. But again, as I said a moment ago, a shtar is only a shtar when it's committed to writing on a document, not just when it's my oral word. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'ayma asisi plani avdi ben chayrim. If somebody says, I made my eved free, v'hu aymer, and the eved said, never happened. V'hu amar lo yosani. It never happened. Says the Gemara, chashin Hashem azika la yedei achar. We're concerned that the eved is free. If the eved is free, how come he doesn't know about it? Because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a concept of zochen l'odam shaloi b'fonav. That means, if I tell you that I want to free my eved, you could be zoche that freedom, that shtar on his behalf. So you know why the eved doesn't know about it? Because somebody else was zoche on his behalf without his knowledge. And Tosfos points out, interesting definition. The word chashinin throughout Shas, what does chashinin mean? We're concerned. Here says Tosfos, don't touch the word chashinin, we're concerned. Here chashinin says, we say that's what happened. We're certain that that's what happened and the eved is treated as a free man. Another halacha. Kasafti v'nasati lai. Now, it's not just I said I made him free. I say I gave you a shtar shichur. V'ru aymer, like kosovli, v'lai nasovli. Never happened. The Eved said it never happened. So halacha is, haidoras baldin kamei edim dami. Here we trust the Eved. The Eved is saying I'm not free, and it's to his detriment. So there's a concept throughout Shas of haidoras baldin kamei edim dami, and we don't trust him. So the Rashba, Rashba must have been a psychologist. The Rashba gives us an understanding. In this Gemara, a psychological understanding to this Gemara. He says, what's the story? I own the Eved, and I say, I gave you a Shtar Shichur. The Eved says, I never got one. So we trust the Eved. Why? Says the Rashba. A lot of times, people think they're going to do something. People want to do something. People plan on doing something. But a lot of times, our plans don't come to fruition. So the person who's giving the shtar, he might have thought that I'm going to do it. And his mind, his decision to do it, was so clear, he thought he already did it, but he never did it. But somebody receiving something doesn't require any planning. So if he got it, he knows he received it. And if he didn't receive it, and if he says he didn't receive it, it must be because he indeed never received it. Says the Gemara. Haima, similar Gemara. I say he gave this field to someone else. And he says it never happened. Again, we believe the giver. Because you know why he doesn't know about it? Because I didn't give it to him directly. I gave it through the Zochen L'Adam Shlo B'Fonav procedure. In a case where I say, I said I gave it to him personally. And he says, it's not true. It never happened. Again, says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Miyachal Peres. So who continues eating the Peres of this field? Rav Chizdama, Naisen Echal Peres. The owner, if we're believing the person who supposedly received it, when he says, I didn't receive it, so it's obviously still the givers. Rav Amma, Mishashim Peres. We leave the Peres, the Sufik. Says the Gemara, v'loi pligi, haba abba haba bra. So the Rishonim explain the Gemara as follows. Tosfos HaRosh explains the Gemara as follows. Again, if I say I gave you this field, I gave you a document giving you this field, and you say it never happened, haidos baldin, k'mei edim dami, you're believed. And therefore, the halacha says that the field is mine. And if the field is mine, the perish, the produce of the field, remain mine. But what's going to be the halacha if I say I gave you this field? And you're not here anymore. It's your son, who's your Yairish, who's now having this argument with me. Your son cannot say for sure he did or didn't, what his father did or didn't get, because his son doesn't know everything his father did. So now, it isn't so clear who's right. That's why we leave the Paris Pesachim. But ask the Taisus Arash, how does the son have any voice here? It's between the father and the giver, nothing to do with the son. So Taisus Arash says, of course, if the son wasn't present when the father supposedly did or didn't get the field, he has no voice here. He has no day here. We're talking a case where the son was there, but it doesn't really pertain to him personally because his father is getting it. So the question is, so the son says, I was there, and I saw my father never receiving it. And the giver says, I did give it to your father. Now it's not so clear. The son has a day here, but his day is certainly not as valid as his father's day, because he wasn't the one receiving it. And when it doesn't have anything to do with you personally, your level of involvement is certainly less. That's why it's a suffik and mishalshel.
Huh? Yeah, thank you.